Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to the Score programme for tonight. And coming up on this evening's show, Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle will be talking League of Ireland football live from Finn Park in Ballybuffet. Tonight, Harps play their last game before the mid-season break. Kicks off at 7.45. And we'll be crossing over to the Highland team in Ballybuffet at around about 7.30 tonight to preview that game and the rest of the League of Ireland matches in the First and Premier Division tonight. Brendan Kilcoyne will be joining us shortly in the programme to look ahead to Donegal's clash with Clare in the All-Ireland Championship, a fixture, of course, which is live this coming Saturday afternoon here in Highland. No television coverage. You can, of course, make Highland your sole place to go for full match commentary from that one. And on the golf front, Ballyliffin Golf Club are hosting the R&A Amateur Open next week. We'll be speaking with Ballyliffin manager John Farn and indeed tournament director Fraser Munro. That's coming up shortly as well here tonight on The Score. But we are going to begin tonight's programme with some sad news, and the death has taken place of one of the most popular men in Donegal football, Desi Kelly. He passed away this afternoon, aged 79. An honorary life member of the Football Association of Ireland, Desi was chairman of Letterkenny Rovers for over two decades. Having joined Rovers in the early 60s, he played and managed the club while also holding various roles on the club's board. Desi also held positions with the Ulster Senior League, the Ulster FA, the Donegal Junior League, as well as posts with the Donegal Youth, Schoolboys and Women's League. While on the FAI, he sat on numerous committees at Senior and Junior Council. In 2012, the FAI honoured Desi with the John Sherlock Services to Football Award, and then 10 years later, in 2022, the association presented him with honorary membership. As a remark of respect, all Letterkenny Rovers Club activities have been cancelled. And Highland Radio Sport would like to extend their deepest sympathy and condolences to the Kelly family on the passing of Desi. In golf, there is a big weekend ahead with practice and indeed competition start next Monday for one of the most prestigious amateur events in the sport. The Amateur Open Championship is one of the biggest amateur competitions in the world, and over the next week, Ballyliffin Golf Club will be hosting the event for the very first time. Pre-qualifying is taking place on Friday and practice is on Saturday and Sunday. And then over 280 players will contest stroke play competition next Monday and Tuesday, with the last 64 switching to match play on Wednesday. And it's going to be whittled right down to the two remaining players on Saturday week to fight it out for the Amateur Open Championship. It's another massive event to be held by Ballyliffin Golf Club. They have, of course, previously held the R&A Home Internationals and the 2018 Irish Open, as well as Irish Senior Opens. But it's another big event coming to the peninsula, where the winner will secure exemptions into the Open and the US Open, and by tradition will get an invitation to play in the Masters Tournament as well. Earlier today, I spoke to John Farn, who is manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club, and the R&A Tournament Director, Fraser Munro. I suppose, Fraser, first of all, I may start with you, and I suppose the decision by the R&A to award the event to Ballyliffin. Was it an easy decision to give this huge event, one of the biggest events that amateur golf has, to the northwest of Ireland?
Well, I think we've had great experiences here in the past. The facilities, the hospitality that's been extended to us, the quality of the golf course was fantastic. You know, we've seen the calibre of the events that have been here in the past, and we've seen the facilities and how the infrastructure's improved over the past few years. And yeah, the team here at Ballyliffin and how they've been involved and an integral part of delivering these events. So yeah, there were a lot of fantastic courses, but certainly when we were looking at it, it was a decision that was made easier by all of that.
Yeah, and one of those events you obviously referred to there is the R&A Home International, which was held in recent years. Fraser, is this the first time that the Amateur Open has been held outside of the UK?
The amateur itself it's got a long history which stretches back to 1855. 1885 when it was first played in Hoylake. The event itself has been contested at a number of different places. It's not the first time we were here. It was played at Portmarnock in the island in 2019. And we saw the success of that event. So, you know, we're looking to replicate that here this week.
Yeah. Well, John, we might just bring you in, John. It's obviously a huge event for the club to have. You had the home internationals. Obviously, we know what went on in 2018 with the Irish Open. So the club is no stranger to hosting big events. But it's an honour for you, I'm sure, to host this one.
Oh, very much so. Like, the R&A run golf worldwide, and they run the most prestigious amateur and professional events in the world. And obviously, our relationship with them is very important to us. So, you know, any event that the R&A brings to Ballyliffin will be welcome. But an event of this stature is something that, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, we couldn't have dreamt of. But we have built a relationship with the R&A. They're confident in the product that we have here and the infrastructure and, I suppose, the can-do attitude of the members and council and the county council, indeed, locally, in terms of facilitating and, you know, enabling events such as this to come to town. All gives a positive feel to, you know, choosing Ballyliffin as a venue for, you know, such a prestigious event.
Yeah. Fraser, we'll bring you back in. Obviously, some big names have won this event in the past. Two Spaniards stand out, Sergio Garcia and Jose Maria Olazabal. A local man from not too far from Ballyliffin, Brian McElhenney of Northwest, is also a former champion. But you might give our listeners maybe an idea of the quality of the field which is coming to Ballyliffin now over the next 10 days.
Yeah, we've got, you know, some fantastic players from all over the world. It's actually, I believe, certainly one of the highest number of countries that we've got represented. We've got 44 different countries competing here this week, so it just shows the draw that Ballyliffin has. We've got a number of top players in the top 100 of WAGR, which is the amateur golf rankings, and a number of those within the top 10, which is, you know, again, just shows the real quality of the field that we have. They'll all be competing and vying for that prestigious title.
Obviously, the weather's not the best at the moment, but John, we're speaking here this afternoon, and there already has been a number of golfers out on the course practicing ahead of pre-qualifying, which is taking place on Friday. You might give us a rundown of the schedule now, what's to come for these players now over the next number of days, John?
Yeah, there's 72 golfers out there actually trying to make the championship, so they were out practicing today on the old links. And they will go out tomorrow and play for 35 places.
Yeah, we've got 35 spots, so a good ratio.
Yeah, they've a 50% chance of making it, Oisin. So I'm just sorry you didn't get your entry in on time.
It's not regular that the Amateur Open actually has its pre-qualifying and the competition at the same course, Fraser.
It isn't. There's not many venues that have the capacity to be able to host both. Pre-qualifying itself is quite a new thing. We started in 2022 for the first time. So, as I say here, to have it all on one site is fantastic. Yeah. And certainly, I believe a first, given the fact that the pre-qualifying itself has only been around for a couple of years.
And obviously the serious business starts on Monday with competition. It's a long week, so it is, John, because it's their stroke play before we go into match play, and it can be a long week for some players, but obviously they want it to be long because they want to be there come next Saturday.
Yeah, they want to be. They won't mind being tired at the end of the week if they're still knocking about on Saturday morning. Yeah, it's a lot of golf. Several days with 36 holes. So, you know, they need to be fit, they need to be at themselves, and that's why it's very evident that it's very much a young man's game. A lot of these guys are coming from US scholarships, college golf, and, you know, they're effectively, you know, I wouldn't even say a step down from the elite professionals. These guys are just about to turn professional, a lot of them, and the quality of golf would be, you know, in my opinion, certainly Fraser can counter this if he wishes, but I certainly think that the quality of golf on offer this week is equal to anything we'd see on the European or the current European tour events. Listen, it's going to be a spectacle. Hopefully the weather, as you say, it's not great today. It's a real test out there today, but it looks like it's improving as the week goes on, which will be great. And hopefully we'll get some sign of summer before Saturday next comes.
There's going to be a fantastic showing of sporting and golfing ability over the next week at Ballyliffin, John. And we're telling our listeners here, you can go watch these guys in action and it's absolutely free. It won't cost you a thing.
Won't cost you a penny, no. It's free entry and free parking on site. So you just park right beside the driving range, walk up, and there's plenty of facilities here, outdoor catering, plenty to see. The action will be over two courses on Monday and Tuesday with a full field of 288 players. So you won't have to look far to see golf and play. That's immediately cut back to only 64 players on Wednesday, which is a big drop in numbers. And that's when the match play begins. So that 64 becomes 32 on Thursday morning. And that ends up with the two for the final over 36 holes on Saturday. So, you know, great spectacle and great drama. Match play, you know, is the best, arguably the best form of golf. So it's exciting. It's not... You know, pars could be winning holes as opposed to birdies, particularly if the weather doesn't improve much. But certainly we'd be hoping for plenty of excitement because match play is the most watchable form of golf. And this event combines both with stroke play initially over 2 days and then the real nitty-gritty of the match play over the final Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
Yep. You're expecting quite a few golfing enthusiasts, not just from Donegal, John, but right around the region and right around the country. And all this, of course, benefits into a boost to the local economy down in that part of Inishowen as well.
Oh, yeah, listen, it's much needed and very welcome injection into the local economy. We estimate €3.5 million injection into the local economy over the course of the 10 days. And in addition to that, obviously, there's the media profiling worldwide from the event, live TV coverage of the quarterfinal, semi-final and final, which will be, you know, hopefully we'll get great weather for that and that'll showcase the whole region and bring further tourism, golf to Donegal and to Ballyliffin. Yeah. We're expecting big crowds. A lot of Irish interest in the event, which will bring people up from all arts and parts of the country itself. But a lot of, as Fraser has alluded to, like 44 countries, there's big teams with a lot of these guys. And, you know, that could be two, three, four, five people with each player. So it's a big travelling contingent, even with the players alone, never mind the media interest. With the spectator numbers and the infrastructure in terms of volunteers. We have over 140 volunteers out there, TV staff, as well as the RNA staff and our own staff on site. So, yeah, a great buzz around the place. I have to say the RNA do a great job in terms of, you know, kitting out the course and making it look pretty spectacular. And it helps the feel-good factor, I'm sure, for the players, and they know it's a special occasion and a very special place.
Yeah, I've seen Gareth had a number of videos up over the last couple of days, and it's pretty impressive looking down there, and it brings back memories of 2018 when you had the Irish Open, John, and I suppose those, when in the sun and we had the weather, those fantastic pictures that were beamed around the world the weekend of, or the week off the Irish Open. Where can they actually watch it this weekend, John, if they can't make it as far as Ballyliffin? Where will they able? What station will they be able to watch it on television?
Well, the RNA are actually putting it out live throughout the week on their YouTube channel. So if you look up RNA Golf on YouTube, you'll get that live coverage there. And in addition to that, Sky TV are covering most of the golf on Friday and Saturday, the final.
Yeah. Okay.
So it'll be on Sky Sports Golf.
Brilliant, brilliant. Fraser, before we finish up, I might just go back to you. And you're hoping for a very successful week in Ballyliffin and an enjoyable week in the county of Donegal. But Could we see this event as a possible precursor to the Open coming to Ballyliffin? It has, of course, been in a number of the Ulster courses, the likes of Royal Portrush. We have seen in the past that Ballyliffin is very, very capable of hosting huge events. Is it a possibility, Fraser, that at some stage down the line, could this wonderful course nestled in the Inishowen Peninsula and Donegal host the Open Championship?
I think the facilities here are world class, and the golf courses that we're contesting the Amateur Championship over are fantastic. So you're certainly amongst the best that I've seen. So, you know, we look forward to a great week here this week, and hopefully we have a success, and we'll see where things go thereafter.
Yeah. And John, something that I'm sure you would love to have at Ballyliffin at some stage down the line, if possible.
Oh, certainly, it's an aspiration. We haven't had any serious conversation about it yet, but hopefully this week will give us the opportunity to showcase what the capacity and capability and quality of Ballyliffin is, so that discussion may start in the not too distant future. But certainly, we do see it as a, you know, a very important step in cementing our relationship with the RNA, and we want to further that relationship.
Okay, listen, John Farn, manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club, and Fraser Munro, the tournament director of the RNA Amateur Open, which has been hosted here in Donegal this weekend. Many thanks for joining us here today on The Score, and we wish everyone involved a huge success over the next week.
Thanks, Ocean. Thank you.
That's Fraser and John looking forward to that Amateur Open Championship, another major event being hosted by Ballyliffin Golf Club. And of course, the first of the rounds gets underway next Monday. And remember, admission is absolutely free. So if you're into golf and you're listening and you want to spend a few hours away from home next week, why not make your way down to Ballyliffin? You'll see some top quality sporting action from the golfers, the amateur golfers, the best in the world. We'll be there in Ballyliffin next week. And again, admission is absolutely free. We're going for a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking Donegal GA after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score programme for tonight, 25 minutes past 7 o'clock. And don't forget, there is, of course, a dedicated GA programme on Highland, the DL Debate, each and every Monday night. If you missed last night's show, well, there's a lot of talk around the All-Ireland Championship. It's available now in the playback section of highlandradio.com, presented, of course, by Brendan Devaney. We're going to stick with Gaelic Games. Brendan Kilcoyne joins us in studio to look ahead to Donegal against Clare in the All-Ireland Championship. As things stand, Cork lead the way with 4 points at the top of the table and a +4 better score difference. Donegal and Tyrone are tied in second on 2 points apiece, but Donegal are +5 and Tyrone, they sit on +7 score difference, with Donegal ahead at the moment on the head-to-head round. And Clare have yet to pick up a point and currently -16 on the score difference. So, Brendan, we heard it in the ad there just before we returned to the programme. It's live on Highland. No TV coverage, no GA Go. McHighland, your number one spot. We are the go-to place for live coverage of this game, which starts at 3 o'clock on Saturday. What we do know heading into the match is Donegal need to bounce back following that defeat against Cork, and I'm sure that's something that you expect Jim McGuinness's side to do.
Yeah, I think so, Oisin. Based on everything that we know about these two sides, Donegal have been really good. They had that blip down in Porkyrin, but prior to that they've been really good, and you would expect them to go down to Castlebar, even though it hasn't been a great hunting ground for Donegal of late. But you would expect them to go down against this Clare side that Tyrone put 3.15 past the last day, Oisin, you know, so obviously, Donegal going in as favourites, they will feel slightly burnt after being beaten by Cork down there, and particularly the concession of the 3 goals will have worried them, kind of thing. And I'm sure they've had a couple of weeks now to look at that, and you know, if they can be that bit tidier, perhaps there was an element of fatigue, mental fatigue, kind of thing, as well as physical fatigue down in Porkyrin. But this gives them an opportunity on Sunday on Saturday to kind of set that straight, give themselves the best opportunity to finish top of the group and straight into a quarter final.
Yeah, but they are going to need assistance from Tyrone, so there, if that is going to happen.
They are indeed, yeah. And listen, you know, Tyrone, Cork is going to be a big one. I suppose Cork will be bouncing after beating Donegal there a couple of weeks ago. But I suppose Cork's main problem of recent years has been consistency and getting performance after performance. And while they'll be very happy with their win, I just still think there's something left in this Tyrone team that, you know, I felt they were very poor that evening that we played them in Ballybuffet, that, you know, they just didn't do themselves justice. And I feel there'll be a bit of a kickback. We might have seen a bit of that against Clare the last day. And I feel that Tyrone may just have enough for this Cork team to get over the line. And obviously that's the result. But it's up to Donegal themselves to go down and do their business down Castlebar and McHale Park, so it is.
Yeah, so we know that Donegal have to win against Clare. They hope Tyrone will beat Cork, and then Donegal have to better Tyrone's score by at least 3 points if Donegal are to top the group and go straight to a quarter final. Obviously, Jason McGee's been a bit of concern in the Donegal camp, having come off in the second half in the match against Cork. But do you feel Donegal are in a place now, even if Jason isn't at 100% and he's not ready, that there's more than capable cover there?
There is, of course, yeah. Like, you look at Kieran Thompson, can easily slot into the middle of the park. I think he played a lot through the National League there, so he did. And, you know, I suppose you're talking about a 3 point differential. I think, you know, Donegal will also look, apart from the defensive frailties that showed up against Cork when they left themselves very vulnerable to the counter-attack, since the goal fest in Celtic Park, when they scored 4 goals, they haven't scored a goal yet. So I'm sure that's something that they need to be looking at, and they need to be more clinical in front of goals and getting them 3-pointers up. Jason is obviously going to be a big loss if he's not available. And I think, the smart thing here, if he's not right, you know, play your cards and maybe keep him for a quarter final or even a preliminary quarter final if that's necessary, because he's been such a huge player for Donegal this term. He's been absolutely phenomenal in the middle of the field. And you have, you know, the squad depth is going to be very important. I don't know what the situation with Conor O'Donnell is yet, whether he's back in the fray, but they need to be getting these options, and they should have enough to handle this Clare team. Now, listen, Clare ran Kerry, they gave Kerry a good enough old match with in the Munster final too, and they've scored threat in Kieran Downs, Aaron Griffin, Emmett McMahon. I think they've scored, account for 234 of Clare's total. So Donegal defensively will need to be on guard, and I think they will be after that, after the display down in Parky Rin, which wasn't all bad. They were just caught, so they were, yeah. There was some very good attack and play, and they showed great fortitude and great mental strength to get back into the game. But they need to be more diligent, and they need to be more concentrated and not allow them opportunities arise. And it just came from maybe just been that bit casual or slack on the ball, Oisín.
Okay, so you feel in that group then that Donegal will be enough on them to win the game, and you think Tyrone's going to edge out Cork, so you're predicting Donegal's going to go to a quarter final? Is that what you're suggesting?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Donegal will have too much for Clare. I think Tyrone, maybe it's my heart telling me head that's the case, but I think Tyrone will show a response again this weekend and have that bit much for Cork, which would enable Donegal to top the group and go straight into the quarterfinal, Oisín.
Yeah, just finally, staying in the All-Ireland Championship, there's a lot of games, of course, taking place at the weekend. There's also another match for Derry, who really have to bounce back. It hasn't been a good championship for them. Is Westmeath an ideal game for Mickey Hartside to try and get some points on the board and make it through to a prelim quarterfinal?
Yeah, well, like, listen, Derry have a lot of troubles, and we've seen that from day one, so we have. But, like, you have to consider, too, they've lost their half-back line, and McInnes, McAvoy, McGrogan, and they were a launching pad for a lot of their destruction on other teams throughout the league and over the last couple of years. So they're obviously a huge loss. I don't know where they are. Obviously, McGrogan is out for the year, so he is. The other two lads may be back. But I think Derry will. It's an opportunity for Derry, too, to redeem some sort of pride from the year. You know, they didn't become a bad team overnight. The problem with them, I think, is they're very reliant up at the moment on Shane McGuigan up front for scores. But if they can get their house in order, I think they should have too much for Westmeath.
Is it too late to get the house in order?
No, it's never too late, Oisín, so it isn't. And, you know, they have enough quality, they have a lot of quality, and they'll need their leaders, the likes of Brendan Rodgers, Chrissy McCaig, Shane McGuigan, these guys to stand up on the day. So there were Conor Glass, obviously. They need these players to stand up on the day. And if there is a bit of uncomfortment within the dressing room and all this kind of talk that's going around, that needs to be resolved before Sunday. But it's an opportunity for to do that, and suddenly they're back in the game.
Okay. Listen, Brendan, thanks for coming into studio tonight, and we'll see you in Castlebar on Saturday.
You're welcome, Oisín. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take another quick commercial break, and after these, we're going live to Finn Park in Ballybuffet.
Coverage of Finn Harps on Highland Radio in association with BNS Credit Union Ballybuffet, where they have a fantastic range of personal loans on offer. Educate, renovate, drive it. Don't delay. Get your loan today. Visit bnscu.ie or free phone 1800 290 390. BNS Credit Union Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Well, it is, of course, a busy night on the League of Ireland front with full programmes of fixtures in the First Division and the Premier Division, with the clubs facing into a two-week break. The mid-season break will happen after this evening's games. They're taking place tonight, obviously, because the European Championships are kicking off tomorrow evening. Derry City are on the road there in Dublin in one of five games taking place in the Premier Division against Bohemians. But, of course, our feature match tonight here in Highland is Finn Harps against UCD. We will have live regular up updates from the tie later on in the evening. We'll also have the first 15 minutes or so with live match commentary, and we're going to go across now to our team of Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle. Dermot, a very good evening.
Good evening, Oisín.
And I suppose, Dermot, before we start talking, before you two guys start talking about Finn Harps and Derry City, listen, there's huge sadness in the Donegal football circles this evening following the news that Desi Kelly, probably one of the most popular men in Donegal football, passed away this afternoon. A gentleman that you know very, very well, and a gentleman that gave his life to football in this region.
Yeah, he sure did, Oisín. Very sad news. And it's funny, you know, because coming into the ground here this evening, almost everybody that I met on my way up into the press area here were asking about Desi and saying that they just heard the news and they were, you know, offering their sympathies. I'm wearing a couple of hats here because I'm obviously working in the media now, but I mean, I played all my football with Letterkenny Rovers, and Desi would have been a constant in my life growing up as well, Oisín. I would have been around the same age as Desi's sons, Frankie and Damien, and we played all our schoolboys football together. We had some great times, and they're great memories to have. But yeah, as you say then, you know, as you got older, you were involved in the club at Letterkenny Rovers, and Desi was always there. A wise old head at committee level, but a volunteer off the pitch as well. He gave his life to our club. He gave his life to football in Donegal. And I mean, it's such sad news. He was at the recent Brian McCormick Cup final where Letterkenny Rovers were playing against Cadhu Rovers, and it was nice to see him out that day. But he's been unwell in recent times, Oisín, and the news this evening that he has passed away has been met with deep sadness. I'm here in the press area with Declan Boyle. And Declan, obviously, you're a Killybegs man, and I mean, a long way from Letterkenny, but Desi's reach in terms of football went all over Donegal and beyond, and you would have known Desi from your younger years as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm missing, you say, Killybegs, but you know, his outreach among the soccer community was incredible. You know, when I was growing up, obviously involved with teams, schoolboy teams, and then the youth football within Donegal, Desi was heavily involved in that. And anything through with football, and especially in county level, he was heavily involved. And you mentioned Letterkenny Rovers. You know, when I played Letterkenny Rovers, obviously heavily involved for them for years and years. Just the work he's done administrative wise in regards to club development, work around the whole county, will be sadly missed. And it's a sad day for football in general in Donegal when you hear the amount of work that he'd done, and his whole life was based around Donegal football and soccer and developing that. And you know, it's a big, big loss to the soccer community.
And a big loss to everyone at Letterkenny Rovers, and of course his family and friends as well. And our thoughts are with his wife Annette and family this evening, to Desi Kelly, his sad passing this evening. Okay, in terms of the football here then, Finn Harps are playing host to UCD. Declan, a UCD team who have enjoyed, well, a mixed run of results of late, but one defeat in 16 matches. They're the team that's challenging Cork City at the top end of the table in this First Division. These two sides have already met twice in this campaign, drawn both games. So what can we expect tonight?
Yeah, listen, probably something similar, I would think, Dermot. You know, one each here, and close game, obviously, up in UCD. I mean, Harps probably should have seen that game out, scoring a penalty in the 89th minute to go 3-2 up, and then Enoch Clancy scores a wonderful header to make it 3-3, and, you know, so both teams coming here with in different form. You know, obviously UCD have a young squad, plenty of energy about them and legs, and they'll look to get past the ball through the thirds, and you know, they're a well coached team, plenty of speed about them. That's a worrying factor, obviously. But on the flip side of that, they haven't won many games. Obviously they beat Kerry 2-1 down in Kerry with Ina Clancy on the centre half, scoring two goals as well down there. So, you know, that's one out of five. They've drawn all the rest of the games. So, you know, they come here with a different form. But as you say, they haven't lost too many games this season. They are sitting second in the table. And, you know, they're there because of the quality of players they probably have at their disposal. But it's an opportunity tonight for Harps to gain 3 points, just push themselves closer to UCD up the table as well. And, you know, our form has been better of late, at home especially. And it's an important match for the players to get a wee bit of confidence, to see that they can mix it with the teams that are above them. And it's very, very tight in the middle of that table, and you've got to keep getting points and grinding out results. And tonight's one of those ones where you've got to grind out a result and get 3 big points.
Well, Tim Oliver-Heimer, Sean O'Donnell and Aaron McLaughlin are back in the starting 11 tonight for Finn Harps. So 3 changes for Darren Murphy's side. And this match, part of a big, busy programme in the League of Ireland tonight. Oisín, as you were mentioning in your intro, there are games tonight in the First Division and the Premier Division. Thursday night football, we're not really used to it. I'd say some supporters here tonight probably have EastEnders been taped back at home. They're not used to being away on a Thursday night. But yeah, in the Premier Division, a couple of big games. Declan's very interesting, because it's pretty tight at the top of the table. Derry City at Bowes tonight, and you look at Derry City's run of form recently. Some very decent results, no doubt about it. They've beaten Galway United and Waterford in their last 2 games. Now they're on their travels tonight against a Bowes team who have caused Derry problems over the years.
Absolutely, you know, I mean, they have caused problems for sure. You know, I suppose when Alan Reynolds came into Bowes, they got a bounce off that. But of late, the results have been a bit mixed. But it's an opportunity. Rory Higgins obviously will be looking to get 3 points tonight to push himself closer to Shelburne, who are a wee bit ahead of them. I suppose the Thursday night football, go back on that one, is down to, I think there's a wee break now for 10 days, and that gives an opportunity, obviously, the players to recharge, get a couple of days away with their family maybe, and come back into it again. And so it's an opportunity also for clubs and players to get all their injuries cleared up. But it's been a busy schedule for sure. And a Thursday night, probably it's not ideal for supporters coming on a Thursday night, but it's a wee bit different. But absolutely, going back to the Derry project, you know, they need to keep winning games. They need to close the gap between themselves and Shelburne, who are keeping the pressure on and are doing so well this season. Probably nobody really fancied them start of the season, but the way they're going, they could keep on going. And it's important Derry keep the pressure on them, obviously.
Okay, 1 defeat in 11 games for Derry. That's the kind of form you want, but they're still just hanging on the coattails of the leader Shelburne, who are at Waterford tonight. Perhaps the big game is at Inchicore, where Stephen Kenny's St. Patrick's Athletic play host to Shamrock Rovers. This game here at Finn Park, the two teams are getting themselves ready to come out onto the pitch. Not a big crowd. It's a poor crowd, probably as poor as there's been for several seasons here, Oisín. So perhaps Thursday night football is not something that's very attractive to the Donegal soccer folk. But here come the teams. We'll kick off as a couple of minutes away. We'll go back to studio, and then you can rejoin us here for full commentary up until the top of the hour. Oisín, back to you.
Okay, thanks to Jermaine and Declan. We'll take a quick break. Commentary from the match on the way after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, it's a score programme with a bit of a difference tonight, because we have live League of Ireland football for the next 10 or 15 minutes as we go to Finn Park in Ballybuffet.
Coverage of Finn Harps on Highland in association with BNS Credit Union Ballybuffet, where the Renovate Loan can help you turn your dreams to reality. Flexible lending with personal service. Visit bnscu.ie or free phone 1800 290 390. BNS Credit Union Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Finn Harps taking on UCD tonight. Harps looking to go to the mid-season break on a positive note. The game has kicked off in Ballybuffet. The team there for Highland tonight is Declan Boylan. First of all, Jermaine Doherty.
Thank you very much, Oisín. A lovely touch here at Finn Park prior to kickoff. A minute's silence, impeccably observed in memory of Desi Kelly, who we were mentioning earlier, who passed away earlier on this evening. So match referee Alan Patchell is just getting the game underway now, so he's a minute or a minute and a half or so behind the scheduled kickoff time, but completely understandable. There you go, we're underway. UCD will be attacking from the from our right as we look down from the main stand here, Oisín. There's a pretty breezy evening here at Finn Park. The rain, thankfully, seems to have stopped, but it's very breezy out there, and it looks like Harps will have that strong wind behind them in this first half, Declan.
Yeah, just both teams kicking off here. Absolutely right. You know, you're walking to the ground and it seems nice and calm and relaxed, but once you come into to the ground, the wind's a wee bit blowing down, as you say, from the town end into the river as well. So, yeah, listen, it's one of those games that'll be really interesting to see how both teams pan out, you know. Obviously, we know how usually like to play. They like passing the ball through the thirds and getting the ball down. And they've good quality players, obviously, and their squad. But it's important now that we start off on the front foot and put them under pressure. And that's what we're probably doing straight away with Aaron McLaughlin chasing down the ball there. But we just need to make sure we stop UCD from playing and getting into that groove of passing the ball and keeping control of the game.
Yeah, good side, UCD. They've got obviously plenty of youth and you may say inexperience, but plenty of quality in that side. And it's worth remembering Ronan Finn captains the team from midfield too. Good player, Ronan Finn. And the team, of course, is managed these days by a Donegal man, former coach here at Finn Park as well, William O'Connor, who's just standing outside his dugout as he watches his team come forward, perhaps to create the first opportunity of the night, but no, there's an intervention there from Harps and they can break away there. Sean O'Donnell, first chance for him perhaps to move up the gears. He decides to go back towards Luke O'Brien, who first time plays the ball over to this side, just changing the trajectory of this early attack for Finn Harps. Here's success. Edigan just trying to go past his man Luke O'Regan, but O'Regan is happy enough just to shepherd that one out over the sidelines. So it'll be a throw in the left back area for the students of UCD, who are on this good run. They're only lost one game in 16 matches and have picked up, though, only two victories in their last six games. So four draws, two victories. And incidentally, both those victories came against Kerry, 2-1 at home and 2-1 away from home. So hard to know what way to read into that. But UCD are going pretty well and they're second in the First Division, in behind Cork City, who lead the way. And they've actually stretched their lead out now to 9 points at the top of the table. So you would fancy Declan Boyle, Cork City, might well be thinking about a return to the top division.
Yeah, absolutely. When you see, you know, I suppose the start of the season, you kind of knew by their budgets and the quality of players they signed as well. And, you know, we knew that they'd be the team to probably beat. Their budget's obviously bigger than everybody else as well. So, you know, they could obviously get relegated the previous season, and the season wasn't great. But you know, the quality of players they have, you fancy them to definitely get through now with 9 points and leading on top of UCD and everybody else below them. It's very, very hard to see them blown from here.
I think the feeling is that Harps are probably playing for a playoff spot at best at this stage, and they're sitting nicely in there among those teams challenging for the playoffs. UCD on 34 points, Athlone Town on 31, then it's Harps on 29 and Bray on 28, and Athlone have played a game less than those sides around them. Bray play host to Athlone Town tonight at the Carlisle Grounds. Cork City are up against Cove Ramblers. It's Kerry against Longford and Wexford against Treaty United. All those games are underway at this stage, as are the games in the Premier Division, where they're up and running at Daly Mount Park as well. Bowes against Derry City, still waiting on the opening goal in all those matches in the Premier Division and the First Division. And of course, these games being played tonight to avoid a clash with the opening match in the 2024 European Championships, as Harps sneak possession back. There's Tony McNamee. Well, pitch of the scene. Tony McNamee picks the ball up inside the centre circle. He had a look up and spotted that the UCD goalkeeper, Cian Moore, was kind of guarding the edge of his own area. And typical Tony, he says, "I'll have a pop." Didn't really catch it that well, but at least he got it on target, Declan.
Yeah, a good opportunity, actually. I mean, what UCD have done is they're very relaxed. They're playing play through the thirds. Niall Hoolan and Ian Clancy, both two centre-halves that came through the Sligo Rovers Academy, were with me last year and the year before. So they're very comfortable on the ball, and they're looking to play and keep it. And they just give the ball straight away in the middle of the centre circle to Tony. And Tony looked up, and as you see it, the goalkeeper was off his line, and he tried to chip him, obviously. And the opportunity was there, but just the quality wasn't there on the guards. It was on target, but not enough on to cause any real problems for the goalkeeper. But it's a very slow build up by UCD, but you can see straight away that they're staying very, very high. Two centre halves are comfortable on the ball, and they're looking to play through the thirds, and it's very, very comfortable. But Harps just dropping off the weevil. They know what to play against them. And Aaron McLaughlin as well, normally plays the winger, is actually playing down through the middle, so they'll be looking to win that ball back and kind of release him down into those spaces in between two centre halves when they're so far split and so much space there for them to go and attack.
So Harps clear their lines from another UCD attack, but the students pick up possession again, and it's Luke O'Raden into the feet of Adam Verdon. Verdon's all left foot, plays it over towards his right back. It's interesting too to watch UCD how they were going through their warm-up and preparations for this game. Football was very much part of their warm-up preparations, weren't they, Declan? It was all two-touch, one-touch football, getting their warm-ups done, and they look so comfortable on the ball, and you can see by their style of play, ball's all on the grass, played the feet, off the ball movement and comfortable in possession.
Yeah, that's the way you want your teams to go and play, you know. And it starts obviously with your back four and your two centre halves being very, very comfortable. And to be fair, the two lads are really comfortable on the ball, and that's where it starts from. And obviously then they've got quality up top end of the pitch, and there's plenty of movement as well, and players are going into position and out of position, and just to keep in possession, it's very easy to watch. And it's a chance for UCD, just well blocked there by the Harps defender. I think it was Mackinson that got in the way. There was a chance there for UCD. I'm not sure which player it was.
Yeah, they came down the right-hand side, and they worked an opening because they had outnumbered the left back, Luke O'Brien, over on that far side. And as you say, the ball came in. Thankfully, Makinson and between them, Noah Baba, then we were able to clear the danger. But it's interesting, UCD back in possession again. They come across halfway. We played just over 6 minutes. Harps against UCD still scoreless, but the visitors have bossed possession in these early stages. As Michael Raggett interchanges with Luke O'Regan, who decides to have a little pop. It's off his weaker right foot, and it just rolls through to Tim Oliver Heimer. And Harps will try and settle things down. It's a fairly settled back five or back four that Harps have had for the last number of games. The changes are further up the pitch and in goal as well, Declan, which we were remarking on before kickoff. Again, Tim Oliver Heimer coming in. Connor, watch. It's a case of one game for you, and then you're on the bench the next game.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way, you know. I mean, most obviously managers go for the one goalkeeper and have him most of the year. I think it's quite a good thing to give goalkeepers an opportunity. Obviously, Connor Walsh, you know all about him from Sligo Rovers. He was involved along with me for 3 or 4 years there. And he's a quality player, and he's on loan. And so I would say it's important that they keep him. There's a chance down the right-hand side here. Watson goes in, but it's a poor clearance there, and it's ended up being cleared away by Niall Hoolan, who ended up hitting the ball off Sean Donnelly, coming in to block it. But good run that time down the right-hand side. Success just played into Watson, and Watson made an overlapping run, tried to put the ball in the box, but his delivery just lacked a wee bit of quality and didn't beat the first man.
So UCD managed to win themselves a free kick. It's one of those ones where Michael Raggett just felt the challenge come in from Jimmy Watson, the Finn Harps right back, and he went down, and the referee, yeah, he agrees, gives UCD a free. So even though that free was on halfway, the ball's already back with their goalkeeper, because they're going to start building from deep again. And Harps, I'll tell you, they'll wonder how they're going to, what they're going to do tonight. Is it going to be a case of chasing shadows, chasing the football? Because they haven't really managed to get any possession going at all. They haven't really kicked into gear, Declan.
Yes, it's difficult when you've got a team that are very comfortable. Two centre halves for UCD are well split as well. Full backs are playing high. Also, their top three of UCD is very, very high as well. So then in the midfield area, then there's plenty of movement between the players to get on the possession of the ball. And Harps is dropping off a wee bit. What's important is when they do play forward, you've got to win that ball and cause them problems. Because when they have that, when they're in possession of the ball and there's so many men advanced to the ball, there's spaces to go and exploit, and that's the key tonight. Can they exploit them? And it's just chance. Sean Donald's on the ball here, cuts inside from the left hand side, still on it, three men around him, got a free kick. Yeah, it's done well, done really, really well. They've got a free kick.
Yeah, first chance really for Harps to get going on the left hand side. This time it came from a good piece of play by Stephen Doherty. Ryan Rainey was able to help him out in the middle of the park. Rainey's pass out to Sean O'Donnell on the left, and he came in onto his more stronger right foot, and just as he was about to wind up an effort on goal, the challenge came in, down he went. So it's a free kick to Harps. It's a fair distance out, it's over 20 yards out, and there's two men standing over this wall. The five man UCD wall is the requisite 10 yards back, and this Luke O'Brien is having a look at this one, and Tony McNamee. Here comes McNamee, the shot comes in straight into the wall, so they did their job. Stephen Doherty tries to retain possession. Good ball out to the right to Jamie Watson. Ball in from Ryan Rainey. Goalkeeper thought about coming, but decides against it. And it drifts wide for a goal kick. But yeah, it's been an interesting start. Both teams kind of testing each other out, really, Declan. You've got to say UCD do look to have the more confidence about them.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's systems of play, and, you know, they keep a shape very, very well. And Hearts are happy enough to let them have possession of the ball. There's no doubt about it. Usually we'll probably dominate the possession stats at the end of the game. But, you know, it's really about what you do when you get into the last third and can you score opportunities. And, you know, that's Stephen Finn as well, obviously. Heavily involved, and our rolling fringes here is heavily involved, in the play there as well. So between him and the two centre halves, looking to play out, but it's can we get chances? Can we cause them problems as well with less possession of the ball? And I think we will tonight.
Okay, so as we approach the 12th minute mark here, this game really still to kick into gear, although Hearts have won their first corner kick of the evening. So we can go back to the studio and you can rejoin us again after the news for more updates. But for now, it's Harps nil, UCD nil, Oisin.
Okay, many thanks to Jeremy and indeed to Declan.
Coverage of Finn Harps on Highland in association with B&S Credit Union Ballybuffet, where their special car loan rate is now on offer. Own your own car from the start with a fast, flexible and affordable loan from B&S Credit Union. Visit bnscu.ie or free phone 1800 290 390. B&S Credit Union Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
And we will, of course, have more updates from that game with Jeremy and Declan coming up shortly here on Highland Radio on this Thursday evening. The next update will be at 8:15. And just a reminder as well, live Gaelic Games action this weekend on Saturday with no television or streaming coverage. Highland Radio is your go-to place for live commentary from Donegal against Clare in the All-Ireland Championship on a Saturday afternoon from McHale Park in Castlebar. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh and Brendan Devaney on commentary as Donegal look to bounce back from that defeat against Cork and try and get themselves a place in the quarterfinals. That's it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will, of course, be able to recap at the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. For me, Oisin Kelly, and the rest of the team, have a very good evening.